Welcome to the Fat Easy Muskie Podcast. Here I am, to my right. I have Vance. Across from Vance, we have Ranger. So technically, he's in front of Ranger. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since you've actually done one from the Ranger.
Correct. Maybe a year.
It would actually be very difficult to do one now with all these wires and microphones and mixers and
absolutely
high-end computers.
Yes.
I mean, we just got... I should almost take a photo of this table.
To see how legit it is. I mean, you got it all here. You got chew, you got spit bottles, you got beers, you got a wad of cash.
I was going to say, you have to make note of this giant wad of cash that was thrown at me today.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm used to it.
You really are.
Anytime I walk into, like, a private establishment, cash gets thrown at me.
Yeah, you have to wear a football helmet. It goes back to your stripping days.
I'm going to tell you what. Easiest money I ever made. And there we go. I finally got Todd to make a sound. He's on the phone.
Yeah, I'm here.
So, you know, people would ask me, how are you paying for this house in ones? And I'm like, do you really want to see?
Didn't you check my W-2? The last couple years. Andy's strip joint.
Hey, I'm classier than that.
Let's go. Andy's Gentleman Club.
Well, I don't really want to reveal the name because it was a gold mine.
I tell you what. Speaking of gentlemen's clubs, this is really off topic.
I was going to say, I don't know where this is going, and I might put the kibosh on it.
My God. I had to be a DD for this bachelor party. And this, of course, you know, it was just your standard, a bunch of dudes that were cheap, you know, and wanted to throw this kid a bachelor party. I felt horrible for it. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll DD. And, you know, they're like, we're going to titty bar, you know, going crazy, screaming. So I'm driving all these drunks to this strip club. And I'm sober as a judge, so it's a very annoying time. I'm, like, outside and stuff, relaxing. It was like a nudist colony. I stepped outside, and there was, like, people playing volleyball. They were naked. And they were like...
What time of day was this?
This was nighttime. They were playing volleyball. They were naked, but they were, like, you know, your parents' age. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, what the... Why am I here? And then so I go back in, and I was going to enter, like, exit through the front... Just to, you know, like, clear my mind of what was going on. And all of a sudden, you know, remember, like, it in the pools, like, if you would go to a public pool when you were little, there was, like, the adult swim, and all the kids had to get out. I mean, this is a...
Okay.
This is something that happens. Well, it was like an... Like, it was like that, except the patrons were allowed to get up and strip. It was an all-strip. So these people that were there, like, you know, watching strippers, they all got up. And they started stripping.
What?
It was a disaster.
Why are you telling us this?
I have no idea. We were talking about strip bars. It was close to here, man. It was like in this area.
No way.
No, it was terrible.
Off air, I want to hear where in this area really means.
Yeah, it was like up in this area, man. It was terrible. If you want me to tie it into... fishing, you know, the more fun part of that bachelor party is we went to Chautauqua Lake after it and just had like a pleasure boat day, rented a bunch of boats.
Okay, that's a better turn to this.
Should we start over?
No, we got to keep this one.
Oh man, that was a nightmare for me.
It was equal to hear this story.
An all strip. I mean, everybody was up and it was like, if you want to do it yourself, come on up. We invite you to all these people started getting up.
When did you finally draw the line and say, guys, we're gone?
I went outside for like the final 2 hours. I slept in this like giant church van. It was a mess.
You drove the church van?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like a rental church van.
Okay, I didn't like, was this really from the church?
No, I don't think.
Okay.
But
Todd, do you have anything to add to this?
I have nothing to add to this. We were on a...
I did not prompt this one. I was making a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why I brought it up, but I mean...
I don't know why either.
That was terrible.
It was an enlightening story, but this is the Fat Easy Muskie podcast.
I know.
Well,
anyway,
this show is brought to you by Vance. Do you have anything you want to add?
Let's just keep going so I can stop thinking about that horrible time.
Okay. Well, Fat AZ Muskie products. FatAZMuskie.com. You know, we make the jerk baits called the Raptor. 6, 8, 10, soft tail. We make the swim baits, the 6-inch, the 8-inch, the 10-inch. The glider, 8 inches. Actually, probably a little bit more than 8 inches, but I'm going to call it 8. Rod holders. We have the straights, slanteds, rail mounts. We have the S10 adapter brackets. All of them very popular. We will be having them at the Chicago Muskie Show. Booth 618. By boat, letter A. So hopefully we don't get changed around too much. And I really hope that you guys come out and see us. And you say hi. And then you can talk to Vance about all your crazy stories.
Don't be a designated driver.
Would you said you... Okay, so does that mean that you would have had more fun if you weren't the DD?
If I wasn't, you know, like, kind of guilt-tripped into doing it, yeah. I would have had more fun. I wouldn't have been there, period. I would have just met these people at the lake.
Okay. All right. So, with that...
That we're also going to be at the Columbus show.
Save the ship, Todd.
Mm.
Steer it away from this.
We're going to be at in Chicago early January. We're going to be going back to Columbus. Columbus, Ohio show put on by Tony Craig. We're going to be at the Ohio Muskie show, and we will be at the Muskie Max. We're going to have lots more to come about the Muskie Max this year.
Oh, yeah. That venue has changed locations a little bit, so we want to make sure everyone knows about that. So be sure, if anyone out there is going to be at the Chicago show and has any interest in rod holders, you can drop me a line. We're probably going to, here in the coming months, offer some kind of pre-show special for those who will pick up their rod holders at the show. They can have their friends pick up the rod holders at the show. But keep listening for that. Keep on Facebook. We're going to do something there. We're still doing the blemished rod holders until they are gone, which they can be gone at any time. We just doubled up podcast tonight. So a lot of interest just in the hour or so between putting that up and recording these shows. So who knows how long that's going to last. So, but in the future, I'll be getting more, I'm sure. Mishandling of stock from the supplier will cause cosmetic blemishes, and I will always have a few trickling in. So check back, and let's see, what else do we got going on? So the new show, we did a little bit of looking here. It seems as though everything is working halfway. I mean, I got it to show up immediately on the Podbean supplied website. You can, if you're listening to this, you can download the Podbean app. That will get you the show. If your iTunes brought it up pretty quickly as well. Some people listen through iTunes. We're sorting through this. We got to make sure all this works. We got less than a week before everything gets blown out on the old host. I have everything downloaded. So with all of that, give us some time. Hopefully we can get everyone back on board. It should have been seamless. It might be. It might take some time to refresh some of this stuff. I'm not a super wizard with this. I just followed the instructions that was given. So, Vance, I see you scrolling through stuff. Where are you at?
I'm just trying to see if our old podcasts are still registering on iTunes, which I believe they are. Mine's kind of jumbled right now, but you get all 100-some episodes on there still.
Yeah, I was only getting like the last 20. which I've noticed that with iTunes. I don't know if that's an app thing that's going on.
I think it might be an app thing. I think it still comes up on that.
If you're just doing a search
in
iTunes. But
yeah.
We will keep you guys posted. The last one did post successfully. As far as I know, I did not listen to it. So we're going to keep things going in a day or so. I'm going to probably make a post on Facebook saying to check this out here, you know, find what you need to find. There's so many ways to listen to this show. I can't cover every single one of them, but we're still on iTunes. So we also have off the website, you can find it there, a new updated, nice photo. I used the photo Vance recently sent to me. Did you see that, Vance?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, I did. Without your permission.
Mm.
Okay. Moving on. We got Boss Shad. Been a great supporter of the show for 1 year now. This is their 52nd week.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, you can find your Boss Shads on Facebook. You're going to have to message Paul Frescherio for an order. You're going to have to like his Boss Shad page. He will be posting things up as he gets them completed. He will also be taking orders through his email, which is bossshad1@gmail.com. bossshad1@gmail.com. So send him the orders there. Tell him you heard on the podcast. Been a great supporter. You guys got a bunch of fish this year on them as we approach the 1 year of Boss Shad. Anything noteworthy that you're looking back on the last year?
I mean, I know Todd's got a giant on a Boss Shad this year.
Yes.
What color?
It was on Mud Puppy.
No kidding.
My puppy Boss Shad. Yeah, we got some great fish. I've caught a lot of great fish over the last maybe four seasons since I started using those, and they're always out there in the spread. Always got to have a boss in that mix.
Absolutely. Dozens of firsts for people this year on Boss Shads, and it's a great product.
We'll go with they get bit, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the wording.
They help us bang fish.
Yeah.
Even that's too many words.
I know.
We'll bring it up later in the show.
Yeah, check them out. Boss Sheds, you're going to have to get a hold of Paul. bossshad1@gmail.com.
Perfect.
Great baits.
That's right. All right. Muddy Creek, one of you chime in.
Muddy Creek Guides, mcfishandguides.com. Give us a call. If we can't get you in this year, we're ready to go next year, come Memorial Day weekend. Vance and I were real busy this year. There really wasn't much time left to get other guys in, so I already got guys on the schedule for next year. I know Vance does too, so time's coming. We still got time right now. I don't know when this will get up and loaded, but we'll fish it in November, weather permitting, and, you know, I'm ready to go. I don't know if the guys are all ready to go, but I'm ready to go. We'll keep it going. Other than that, shows will be coming up. Book your trips there. We had a good year. Get a lot of guys on their first fish.
As your year's coming to a close, Todd, would you consider this to be one of the three options? Below average, average, or above average?
Man, it's between, it's average. It's average.
Average in numbers or quality?
Quality above average.
There you go.
Yep, we got a lot of really nice fish.
There you go. A lot of really
nice fish. You know, for us, fish 45 inches up, you know, tons of 47, 48, 49s for us here. Percentage-wise, the size of the fish are way up. I know Vance's boat did the same thing. I think everybody out here did the same thing. But not quite the numbers that we're normally used to, but we got some great fish.
Do you happen to know at this date what your average for the for an 8-hour trip was?
Fish?
For fish.
It's around a couple fish a day.
That's pretty good.
Mm.
And I would say that that's, from the years that I've known you, Todd, that seems to be...
That's the average. It's a couple fish a day.
Yes. And we're not we're not sitting here trying to break it down to three decimal places. A couple fish.
It's a couple fish. Slightly above, slightly below. We had some great years that were way above that. I mean, I had seasons that were double that. With numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's going back a few years. And our numbers were a lot higher. The size of the fish was way lower. Now we're dealing with a lot of the bigger fish. So, nice fish for us. It's fun. People like to see pictures of those 48s and 49s. You know, you can catch 15 in a row that are under 40. And I don't even take, we don't even take pictures of them.
Yeah. Net them. Let him go. Just
unhook them if you
can. I just cut the line.
Mm.
Don't even want to mess with them.
Oh, they're still fish, you know. Nice 38. Guys are happy with that. To know it's another muskie in the bag.
That's what you try to avoid, though, after you get a couple of those. Try to not get those little ones in that bag. Messes them up, you know. It's like, all right, let's just get this one out in the water, you know. Water release this one. You guys caught one this size.
Yeah, we already got a couple like this.
Yeah. It's just
well, there's a way around the net. It's the old lift the fish in the boat with the rod.
The bass flip.
I like the one where you get it really close to the boat, and then you see the person like grip it real good and then arch the back backwards as they're lifting the fish up like a backhoe. And then you lay it in the boat.
Oh, that's great for it. They used to do that. No question.
I'm sure people still do. I would do it to a bluegill.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, but that was nice. The size of the fish has been great. You know, those are a lot more fun to get into, you know. Take mm-hmm. a great picture. People are excited. And, you know, like the big ones.
Perfect. How about St. Croix rods?
Best on earth?
Mostly made in America. They make rods for many fish. And I'm trying to think of obscured... Oh, goodness gracious. Obscure fish. There we go. I said it. Vance?
Peacock bass.
Tilapia. I would really like a crayfish rod.
A crayfish rod. That's what your fingers are for.
It wasn't that long ago. I took the family down to an access area here on their local river. I had a blast catching crayfish with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The kids, they really weren't doing a whole lot other than my daughter brought her butterfly net, which was really good for catching crayfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put it behind them and you kind of scare them and they whoop right in.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one of these like moral dilemmas was like, I read the regulations at this was a state owned access area. Not really. It's a boat launch, but you're not launching a boat here. It's inches deep for a long way. It just, you can't, I mean, it's access more or less if you're going to launch a canoe or, kayak of sorts. But upon reading some of the paperwork that they have posted on these signs is that this is meant for fishing only. Like, you cannot launch an inner tube and float down the creek here. It is meant for fishing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in luck. Because I was catching crayfish, which I guess by the standard of the law is fishing for bait. So someone couldn't say, get out of here. Now, I did not have my fishing license on me. So this also gets a gray area. If I was there helping my 2- and 5-year-old children, would I technically be covered under them if they were helping me catch crayfish?
Cannot answer that for you, Andrew.
But if I would have had my fishing license and I would have carried a crab back to the truck, we were allowed to splash and skip stones, I guess.
Yeah. Crayfish.
So if anyone's out there, runs into a situation where they're having a good time with their family, and you see that, come up with an excuse like we're gigging frogs, we're catching bait of sorts, we're trying noodling, but we can't find a hole to stick our hand in.
There you go.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing would have came of this because it would have been really hard to arrest a smiling little boy and girl that have a crab in a bucket.
Yes.
And I will say this, kids are fearless.
Here's a moral dilemma. We get stopped occasionally on Chautauqua Lake. I mean, it's like probably 1 in every 2 years, and it's generally by the DCNR or whatever New York runs.
Mm-hmm.
To check your standard things. I've been stopped before, on kind of the one DCNR officer was orienting a new officer, and he drove up to my boat, and I'm just like, oh, guys, stop casting, we're about to get checked. And he was like, no, you guys are good, I just wanted to show him what this PV stood for on the boat. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. Well, a couple months later, I had a trolling spread out, and I had two people with me. There was three people in the boat, so it's 3 rods a man in New York, and I just was running 6. And he asked for all of our fishing licenses. And I had all the rods out at this point. So I kind of just like idled back, throttled back, and was doing about like 2 mile an hour.
And I'm like, boards out, they can only get so close.
That's what was going on. They all held them up, but I have taken the charter.
Have you started loosening the drag to let that board on that side just drift out? Just a little bit.
Right. You're close enough, dude.
That's what I was like. Whoa, what are you guys doing? You know. Got all this stuff out here. Can you give me some space for a second? I'll reel in. But I've taken a charter where, it's been like a husband and wife, and maybe a gift for an anniversary from the wife to the husband to go musky fishing, and he usually has his license, and the wife was like, I didn't get one. I'm not fishing. I'm just kind of here for the ride,
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what would happen in that situation if I got pulled over and they said, well, where's her license? And you say, well, she's not fishing, What does it matter? These are our rods.
The only thing would be is if they saw her real one in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
other than that, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I can run 3. You can run 3, and somebody else has a license on board, you can run 6.
Yeah, it just made me wonder, though, because they asked for all of ours. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what does it matter? There's only 6 rods here,
Yep, no, yeah, there's people allowed to be in the boat that don't have a license yet. If they didn't have them, you could say, she's not fishing, she's riding with us.
Yeah.
I would have just held up 2 and said, what more do you need?
Yeah.
And then open up the bail and let that board go out, clink the side of their boat.
Back off, baby.
Yeah, that would not work well.
No, you're fine there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Interesting.
So
that's good.
And that went from St. Croix rods. We went to legality of
yes,
of catching crayfish and licenses on board.
We'll jump into the power ranking. Send in your submissions. We'll get them in these fall months. We'll come in at number 3 this week. It's going to be mine, and it's going to be boat shopping, kind of window shopping for them. It's always nice, you know, you have, you know, your daily grind, your work schedule, your family schedule, but it's always kind of nice to daydream about it and window shop about some type of a purchase just to get your mind off of things. And I do that with rigs, and I'll Google them, I'll look them up, I'll look at the floor plans on them, you know, and kind of imagine, you know, how you would fish out of them, what would go where, rods, reels, where you would tuck, you know, baits away, things like that, where you would position people.
Virtual boat buying.
And I like that, you know, because you don't have to spend any money doing that. You're just kind of looking.
I like looking.
Yeah.
Something that I run into is now, early days was go down to the local dealer, get the brochure, bring it home, look it over, pick which one. Then you got the internet. Now you
dog makes it so much more complicated.
Well, there's added layers to this onion here. So the internet, then you're like, look at all this stuff that I can look at. I don't have to go to XYZ Marina anymore. There's a marina just over the state line that I can go here. And now you're looking at all these boat brands and you're comparing yourself. Well, then the days of internet reviews started coming on. And now you're reading at how every single boat out there is the worst boat ever made from all these people. Some of these things, pick anything, hop on Amazon, and there's probably a product that has 13,000 reviews, and you're like, how did they sell 13,000, let alone, you know, whatever. So now you get to sort through all the BS, which you pretty much throw away all the 1 stars, throw away all the 5 stars, and look at some of the middle stars, and you can get an accurate description of what you're looking at. Now, take it one step even further to where, and I heard Todd admitting this the other day, when I told him, I spend more time searching the internet on my phone than on a desktop computer. Mm-hmm. The accessibility of these screens have ruined to where I'm actually sitting on the couch or whatever I'm doing, where if I have 2 minutes to think on my own thoughts, I'm like, my thoughts are, what can I search on the internet today? Because it's almost like I have read everything I wanted to read about what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing new. Yep. I know it all.
You'll find something.
Maybe. But you know, have you gotten to that point with these boats? Is that you're like, there's got to be some unknown boat brand out there doing something different, and you're searching like keywords like unknown or new?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I usually go to the website and then I'll check, you know, boat ads, and then I'll Google search the boat that I'm actually looking at to see if anybody else hopped on there to put a review up and maybe some more in-depth photos. And then you get to see, you know.
You know what's a lot of fun? Is when you actually get up and touch it in a showroom.
Yeah, and you get to stand in it and see the actual thing. Yeah, that's fun. That's what boat shows are for and stuff. Those are fun to go to.
You know, just the little shows that we do, I can't imagine prepping for a boat show. Yeah, we're going to take 8 boats to this show,
mm-hmm.
and you get like 8 trucks, and you pull them all unless you want to make 8 trips.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I know Todd went to the Cleveland boat show last year. How many boats were in there?
Oh, my. Lots of boats. Not a whole bunch of boats that I could look at. You know, a lot of them, most of them were like six-digit boats.
Mm-hmm.
Some seven-digit boats. So obviously we're not going to be doing any charters on million-dollar boats here. But, I mean, it was neat to go to. Lots of boats. I've been a part of those boat shows before and helped people tow them over. And it's nice. The problem is when you get on the internet, this is what I'm running into. I find a boat, it's like, well, I'd like to look at that. And, on the computer, it's real easy to find. Sometimes it's not as easy to find in real life. Like, the closest one's 500 miles from here.
That's a far drive.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I'm running into. Like, I have some boats I'd really like to look at, but really don't want to take a flight down to South Carolina or drive down there to look at one. That's the closest one to me. So it opens up a huge
logistics issue.
Yeah, huge shopping window for you. I mean, you can find it. You can find the info. You can read all about it, but who's going to want to place this order without actually touching, seeing, feeling the boat?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've run into. There's a couple I'm really interested in for next season, but got to make some decisions here quickly in the next couple of months. And it's to me, it's not fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fun part is just looking. Prior to being like, okay, I got to. Now I have to talk turkey with myself here and say,
yeah,
I got to purchase one of these things. The fun part is looking at the pictures.
The fun part has been looking.
And daydreaming.
Making the decision. And, I go directly often right to the end. The last thing they put is the actual price.
Yeah.
What power this with? What do you got to do? Is this realistic? And,
does this include everything that I need?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great base price. Okay, but I need a steering wheel.
a trailer would be really good.
Mm-hmm. A trailer's going to help this out for me. Yeah, that's the thing. And then it gets, when you're trying to make the decision, it gets a little bit hairy.
Yeah, it's like the with where you're, whenever you're going to do these things, where you're situated in the world, a lot of the boats up here are aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
Tin boats, big tin boats, small tin boats. That's basically what you see around here. When we do those tournaments, say there's 100 boats in the tournaments,
70 of them are
glass,
and yep, most of those are
Rangers.
I got a Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think
totally the opposite here. You look at the people launching, you look at the people fishing, and it's probably out of 100 boats that I see fishing out here, 70 of them are the aluminum boats.
I'd say more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd say, and that's where, you come into, maybe I want to get a glass boat, but I'm up here in, I'm in Western Pennsylvania, I'm in Western New York, anywhere over here.
Not a lot of dealers.
Not a lot of dealers, and it's a drive to go and actually touch the thing, and see them, Or if you want a bay boat or a center console, it's like you almost have to go to the East Coast, the ocean to see these dealers that are pumping those ones out.
That's where I gotta go. Yeah. Yep.
I thought this was supposed to be positive and uplifting.
Yeah. It is. It is.
It will be when it's all done.
Yeah.
Once you say yes and then you got it, it's all good then.
Yeah. That's a lot of driving.
Yeah.
I guess you could do it at the boat shows, but like I said, it's a lot easier buying a tin boat around here, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who's number two?
Todd. Number two.
Number two. I'm going to do mine on, I don't think we've done it before, ending the day with a fish. That can come either, I know Andy's going to like this, like, okay, one last cast.
Famous last words.
You get that fish to hit. You know, we do it all the time when we're trolling. At the end of the day, it gets down to my time, and I'm looking, okay, it's close to 5. We're going to wrap this day up. Rod goes off at, you know, 4:45. Get the fish, bag it, put it in the net, get the photos. You already got a couple rods cleared, and I was like, that's a great way to end this day. You know, let's just head on in right now. Now, in saying that, I'm all about going back and keeping on those fish. But it's fun. I love ending the day. We did it about 3 times this week where we, you know, it was getting down towards the end, catch the fish. That's a good spot to end.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I have some of them, but they're generally not trolling trips. They're a lot of bank yanking.
Bank yanking, yeah.
Bank yanking. The one that comes to mind the most was, and I may have told this story, but bear with me. It probably was 3 years ago. I was with Nitro. We were bank yanking. It was a hot, hot October day. And I want to think it was like in the 80s. Wow. And we hit this one spot. I've never caught a fish there before, but I'm like, it just looked fishy. So I always keep grinding on these spots year after year. I'm like, one last cast. And, you know, I let about 2.5 feet of line between the bait and the rod tip. I was going to launch this baby. And I did that Happy Gilmore run.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, that bait went way out there. And I probably didn't get a couple taps of the glider. And she just took it right on the surface. Big rolling boil. And the bait had to be out there 200 feet. So I set the hook and, like, start walking backwards because that's a lot of line out there.
Yeah.
I ended up getting the fish. It was a nice, big, big local river fish. So
Musky.
Nice.
I got it. It was after some fumbling around. This wasn't a very good place to land a fish because if I would have taken a step forward, I probably would have fallen 10 vertical feet and broke my ankle.
Oh, my.
So we had to, like, walk around this ledge. And then the next spot to land it was this, like, mud flat that you think looks good, but every step you take, you're, oh, it's up to the tread of my shoes. Oh, it's up to my ankle. Oh, it's halfway up to my knee.
Yeah.
And you still got 15 feet to go to the water.
So you've had success on these hot days. I don't know why it has to be double nickels.
Because the water temperature isn't there. But, yeah.
That's always fun. Catch one on that last cast. I mean, I love leaving Canada when I go on my week trips. You know, sometimes you're at the end of the week and, you know, we're at 48 fish. Let's try to get 50. Or, you know, but it's always fun. There comes a time, I know Friday we're pulling the boat, and usually around 3-4 o'clock in that afternoon I start looking as like, well, you know, if we get one right now, we'll just end it right here. And I always try to do that, leave the beautiful Canadian waters with, like, that was the last cast. Or, and I think about it the next year when I'm heading back up, or the next trip I'm going, it's like, you know, I caught one on the last cast when I was up here.
Does it help you that year at all?
No. But it's fun to think about, though. It's fun to think about. Like, when we left, we reeled the fish in, netted it, measured, threw it back in the water, and we went in. We ended on that fish.
That's a great feeling.
I enjoyed doing it.
I enjoy catching a fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's a special moment. Coming in at 1, Andy.
All right. Mine's going to suck. I don't know why I got number 1 this week.
I felt bad.
Okay. So I got the pity number 1. And mine is having things halfway work out on the podcast changeover. We've already discussed it a little bit. But that's a big relief on my end that at least the stuff's still going out. There might be a little bit of shifting here or there. We enjoy doing these shows. We enjoy hearing people talk about the shows to us. I've had to make some phone calls in the past couple weeks to people who do not know necessarily my phone number. I'm not like hiding it, but there are times I do need to talk to some people and we might play phone tag. And even if you call a phone number and the person doesn't answer, they'll call you back and you're like, who's this? Mm-hmm. Even though you just dialed it. And I'll say something, they're like, you sound just like the podcast. And this is not just a single person this past week. This is probably two or three.
Really?
In the last, not week, the last 2 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And one person actually said, I have a buttery smooth voice. Nice. And I said, you've mistaken me for Vance.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, anyways, so that's kind of nice that that's, things are looking on the up and up to keep this rolling. And so I'm having a positive response to actually seeing things pop up where they should. While they're not all firing on all cylinders yet, I still hold hope that things are going to continue as they should.
Yeah. Thank goodness. You worked your tail off on that.
Vance, I don't think you were too concerned because you knew it was in capable hands of mine.
And you were the man for the job, no doubt. Me and Todd were
banging fish, baby.
Yeah, we're slackers on this.
Someone has to keep the main part going here.
Mm-hmm. Good old Andy. That's the power ranking. Send in your submissions. We'll get you on.
Okay. I keep forgetting this title because I did not want to name it this. Oh, here we go. Here's the name of this week's show. If you had to choose. And it's, I'm not going to say it's game show style, but we're going to throw out some scenarios. And if you had to choose one of them, what would it be and why? Just so hopefully it's going to lead to some funny laughs, because we could literally keep this so bone dry that no one will listen ever again.
If you had to choose.
Okay. To kind of start this off, I'm going to give a scenario. If you had to choose, would you want to fight through the boat launch line on a 4th of July weekend with all the yahoos around, I don't know, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, but launch without a hitch? Or would you like to launch at some private launch all by yourself and have a cluster F of a time doing it? And why?
Launch without a hitch?
You're in the midst of all of the chaos, the idiots, finding parking, but your actual boat launch went very smooth considering the chaos around you. But you did have to wade through all the idiots.
Okay.
Or would you rather be all alone, struggling with no help and no one to look on?
Man, I'd have to, I'd take it with the idiots. I'd just be patient. Because sometimes you could work your way through there. You know, quick, if you see it at like Walnut Creek and whatnot. The people that know what they're doing usually could, you know, snake their way through there and get out there and be like, I'm launching here, I'm motoring all the way up here, go park the truck and meet me on this corner. We're getting the heck out of here. Or you just wait. You know, sometimes there's too much traffic, but I'd rather go with something I was comfortable with, you know, having, you know, your conventional launching method rather than having to do something crazy and be alone like that. Without a tool, you know, like a hitch.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, that's a hard one for probably us to answer because, I mean, we do it every day. I don't know what, I can't remember the last time I really had a hitch other than when people were helping Then there's always a hitch. I forget a strap. I launched with the plug out, which I did. I've done all this. Now, I launched like 100 and some times this year, but I forgot to put a plug in one day, but I was talking to someone. I forgot to take the strap off. I was talking to someone. I saw Vance, forgot to take the strap off.
That happened like 3 days in a row.
Yeah, because you're talking to people. Yeah. I mean, I've left my motor toter on. It's always when someone is around. So I'd rather do the... I'd rather go for it by myself all alone because I don't think the hitch would happen there. With all the other people, sometimes you just get frustrated. Like, what? Why is this such a big deal?
Yeah.
I would say give me the problems where no one can see me.
Yeah.
I have a good way of making things work. I do not have the patience to deal with people who I look at and say, is this literally the first time everyone has launched their boat? Why am I at the launch where this must be like the bunny hill on a ski slope? Nobody knows what they're doing. They can't back their cars up, and I will lose my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I would sooner make my own launch in the weeds next to the real launch to get my boat out there.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that means I bury my truck.
Yeah.
Someone out there will know how to put their car in drive and pull my truck out.
I mean, something sort of like this happened to me the other day. So I pulled into the launch, tied the boat on, clients left. I went, got the truck. Now, when I did this, there's a boat parked on the other side of the dock from me. The guy's got the truck backed in. You know, he backed his trailer in. He was like you could tell he was like a construction worker. It said something on his truck. I don't think he had any problem getting the trailer backed in, but the trailer's sitting there, boat sitting there. Him and his wife are standing on the dock. We do our thing. I go up, get the truck, back in, jump in the boat, hit the key, turn the motor on, put it in the trailer, pull it out. I'm putting my straps on, and the guy, like, there's only two of us at the whole launch. The guy nonchalantly comes over and says, hey, man, do you got any tips for me to get this on the trailer? He said, I've never had a boat. I just bought this boat. We went out. We had a great time, but I don't know how to get this thing on the trailer.
Oh, my.
The way I'm seeing this is this guy's like, huh, so trailer's in the water.
Yeah.
Big boat is right here.
Early construction guy probably pulls giant trailers with backhoes on them. But he's looking, and he's like,
how do I get this onto this?
Any tips to do this? Now, he had an old roller-style trailer. I'm like, I look, and I'm like, yeah, man. I start looking, and I'm like, here you go. You know, jump up there. I got the roller centered, pushed it a little bit. I said, okay, you know, hook it on, crank it up. He got it cranked on, and he's like, man, thanks, you know. And he said, how do you drive that thing on like that? And I was like, well, you know, there's no rollers on my trailer. It's a bunk trailer. And I explained it. I said, you could probably change that one roller that you were trying to hit. It's like the size of a pop can, you know. Mm-hmm. You put a big one there, the level one. He's like, yeah, great tip. But it was just, he was honest. He came back. He came over and asked.
Yeah. I don't think that I'm like this crowd-hating monster. I will give help when people need help.
Mm.
Yes.
But
yeah, if you're just showing up quick, you want to go fishing, you know how limited your time is.
It's, well,
just
that, like, oh my that God. And it's, I can deal with a clown or two, and I use the term loosely, mm-hmm. because there could be really good people, they're just in my way.
Yeah.
And but yeah, overall, I can't fix everyone's problems, so I'm going to fix no one's problems at that busy launch.
Yeah.
Because they're going to become a giant problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just sooner just just get out of line, go to the next launch down the lake. Hopefully there's no one there.
Yeah. Yeah, I had those 3 straight days of leaving the strap on.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like it wasn't like tightened down.
Mm-hmm.
I popped it. I just didn't disconnect it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I back in, and I'm like, why is that boat not coming off? I'm like, oh, my God. So I just had to reach around and just, you know, take some tension off it, and it slid right back down. It's those, what are those called? Boat buckles.
Yeah. My life changed when I found out that I could buy those boat buckles for very reasonable price. I was a ratchet strap guy.
Yeah. Those buckles are so easy and nice. But, I mean, the one day I remember I was like, take it off. Remember to do this. And I backed it down and the same thing. I was like, I cannot believe I just did that again. I was so upset.
Did you have a lot on your mind?
Well, there was people staring at me.
The best time to make mistakes is when people stare at you.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, no, we're good. Don't worry about it, you know. I did it 3 days in a row. It was terrible. Embarrassing. Todd was sitting right there watching.
No, believe me, like I said, I've done it. I did it too.
Sometimes people see you coming down and they just immediately start walking over and you're not even in, you know, you haven't even hit the brakes yet, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, shit.
They're excited, man. Hours to get there.
I know.
And we don't even know how to launch a boat.
I know. That's the first impression. Jesus.
First impression. You got to take the strap off. I did this once before, but I forgot the strap today.
I was taking the tension off, and I just wasn't.
I saw you the one day that this was going back a couple weeks because it was a cold day. I saw you the one day. I knew you were pissed. You jumped in the boat, ran back. You reached your arm right down into the water, all the way up to like to your past your elbow.
Oh, I was pissed.
Yeah.
Because I didn't undo the tension at that point.
Because you didn't undo it. Yes, yeah, so you had to reach all the way down, unsnap it. It's cold. I had an extra sweatshirt for you, Muddy Creek sweatshirt.
Oh, my God, yes. That was perfect.
Yeah, remember that? You're like...
Wouldn't it have been funny if, like... So Vance has his one arm completely soaked. Todd's coming over. Hey, Vance... I'm going to make your afternoon great because I'm going to throw you this sweatshirt. He throws the sweatshirt and the same arm lands in the drink and gets soaked, so he pulls it up. So now he has two shirts that have the same arm soaked.
I ended up getting that arm soaked again because I reached in the bag shortly after that debacle. And we'd got an early fish there, so I kind of lightened my mood.
Yeah. No, that still happens.
Okay.
I forgot to plug once this year.
I remember somebody somebody was backing you in, you almost forgot the plug because it just throws you off, you know?
It throws you off. Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
And I kind of screamed. I was like, wait. But the driver didn't hear, and I was like, oh my. And you were scrambling back there. You got the plug in, like, at the perfect time.
Okay, if you guys had to choose, would you rather lose a good fish at the boat or what you suspect is a giant and not see it a ways from the boat?
Well,
both fish are lost.
This has happened. This is in my memory recently. This
a couple has times.
It happens a lot.
It happened 2 days ago. You and I were fishing together.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you mine. Because Vance is over here having just panic attacks.
Yeah.
I would rather see the fish I lost because my mind will torture me all day on saying the same thing that everyone says. Man, I wish I would have seen what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a saying that I have in a small circle of my friends that fish Lake Erie is when you have a good fish, get off when trolling walleye. The saying is you never lose a sheephead. So
yeah,
you're just pretty much just saying, yeah, you lost a giant walleye. And you always think, well, what was it that I lost?
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, it was an average fish that caught you off guard and you thought it hit harder, or maybe it got foul hooked and it had a really good tug going. Or was it the queen of the lake?
Mm-hmm. It's the
queen. The one that'll put you on the map.
One that'll put you on the area. Man catches giant walleye.
Now well, no, I'm on musky map. Fishing. Now on the map.
Now he's on the map. Oh, man.
But knowing, like, even if it's a giant that you lose at the side of the boat, you're like, well, at least I can talk about this one because I seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than being like, yeah, I caught a carp. It got off.
Yeah. Yeah, those make for better stories. Either way, at the boat or far away. I missed one out, which I thought was a good fish. And
does it haunt you to this day? You can still see it when you close your eyes.
No, I just knew it was a good hit. And, you know, Todd and I were fishing, and it was my turn to finally reel in a trolling fish.
Thought you learned your lesson at Cave Run 20.
Jeez, man, that's low.
I was just bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to throw the year out there quick to make people realize that I do listen.
Oh, man. But, yeah, it was my turn to reel in the fish.
Now, our turns are very spread apart. I reeled one in, like, on June 1st.
Yeah.
Because it was my turn, and that was my only turn of the season. And it was Vance's turn. Because we hadn't fished together till, like, 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm. In October.
This is like that chess game that you do over mail.
Yeah, you have to. I didn't get up, but I was like, it's your turn. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I already caught my muskie trolling this year. It's your turn. It was a good hit.
Oh, it was a good hit.
Silver fat body.
Yeah. And it was taking line. It was doing all the head shake things, you know, and big thumps.
You never got a crank, and yeah. For me, that's worse. It happened the other day. I was casting with some clients, and I hooked one up, set the hook, rod buckles back, fish is on. I'm like, well, this is a good one. And when it did that, it, you know, it spun my drag like three times. Like, that's when we were casting. Mm-hmm. The way my drag set, there's not like a 20-pound fish is not going to do that. And popped off. I didn't get to see it, though. I'd just as soon get to see it. I think I'd rather get to see it.
Yeah, I'd rather get to see it, too.
I'd rather get to see it, yeah.
I don't like those ones that you don't see and get off. That one. Because it happened at the boat side. I had the Raptor paused at the boat side, and then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, boom, this thing came up. And I was like just about to go into like my boat side move. And it came up, and I moved, you know what, I think I moved the bait away from that fish. It came up vertical, was on its belly, rolled. I got to see the whole big, like, hourglass-shaped belly. It was just all chunked up. It was a big one. And just kind of chilled there on top of the water and then went back down. But I saw it. And I'm...
Yeah.
It was just like, you know... You know, you could play that game like, damn, I wish I would have caught that one. And then you could kind of be like, well, it was, you know, that was my fault. I think I moved that thing away from it. And that makes it feel a little bit better.
But which one bothers more? The trolling fish the other day?
Yeah, like the one that you don't see.
Yeah, the trolling fish bothers you more. That it does for me.
Yeah.
But you at least got to see that, and you can judge. You can say that was a 48.
Mm-hmm.
But some, you know, that's the part, that's the musky fishing part. How big was it? How, you know, what was it? You know. You don't get to see it, and I'm like, man, should I keep fishing? Especially when you're casting, you think, I'm going to hit this area, because maybe, just maybe.
It'll come back out.
Yeah. We can get that fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the ones you don't see.
I don't either. Yeah. And as Andy said, it could have been something got foul hooked momentarily or...
But your mind always goes right to...
Your mind's going to go to it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'll have another opportunity to reel in a fish till Cave Run.
Don't.
If we do that.
I might take you somewhere special.
Really?
Maybe.
I don't know, man. I'm bad. I'm like 0 for 1 on trolling fish. I didn't reel one of those ones in Canada.
I might get you onto one. Depends on this weather. But let's do one more before the show ends.
Okay.
Okay. I seem to be coming up with all these because they're all brain busters.
I have a couple.
Well, you're hitting a cold here.
I know. Yeah. But that's okay. Three of them. We're going to have people thinking. Okay. Above average fish following your bait. You do a little maneuver. It moves around. You finally get it open its mouth. It bites down. It's a complete... You set the hook, and it just lays there like a giant garbage bag. It won't move. It won't run. It sits there. It's the most pathetic strike you've ever had. It will literally don't even move its fin. You scoop it up in the net, and you got a nice, big, above-average fish. Or a below-average fish that just hammers the bait... Halfway in, goes airborne, flip-flops everywhere, big runs. So you got a below average putting on a show, giving you the fight you want, or an above average that's a complete dud.
The dud. No question. The dud.
Yeah. And I think it's the wording that you gave.
The dud? Yeah, the dud. I have to go with the super crazy one.
Well, yeah, you're talking about above average, slightly below average. Now, if you say...
Well, what I'm trying to do is I don't want all of these situations to have a 50 and a 30.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something realistic.
Yes, you say a giant, I'll take the dud. I just want to... touch that fish. But the scenario you gave me, yeah, you know, if I'm going to catch a 44 or I'm going to catch a 38 and the 38's going to
tail walk and peel line and
that. I mean, we had a great one yesterday trolling with a guy, and I don't know if you ever saw one breach like this, but we were trolling, it came up and it cleared the water, and you know, the guy's caught some muskies, he was excited, but he was like, that was beautiful. That was so beautiful. I don't know if you ever saw one jump. Had a great jump. And it was a 38. He caught a 43 a couple weeks ago with me, and it didn't do that. But he really liked seeing that breaching fish.
And I'm always trying to avoid that and more take the dud when you're doing the charters. I'm like, God,
oh, yeah.
If that thing jumps... Damn it, we're screwed. It's getting off, you know.
I will admit that I am a dud when it comes to fighting fish. I make them be as duddy as possible. Mm. But if I have someone in the boat, like that one time I took my wife, and that one fish, it was going bananas, and it was the smaller one. Mm. It is fun when I knew what it was, because you know you only need a quarter second to actually see it to be like, okay, I know the frame of where this one's at. It is not going to be above 3 foot, but it's going to be bigger than 28. And that thing goes wild, splashing water everywhere. The person doesn't know what you got.
Sure.
And especially a person that's inexperienced with all this, it's a lot of fun to have one put on a show. And then... What's that?
Yeah, I said it most definitely is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've got back the next year. Yeah, and you remember last year that one jumped and... I'm like, oh, yeah. Really, I can't remember at all.
Yeah, I've seen him jump before, so I'll just play along.
Everybody's talking about, you know. I was like, you mean that big one? No. But do you remember that one that jumped, that almost jumped over? I was like, yeah, oh, that was great.
Yeah.
They remember that more than the other, but and it is so cool.
The dud.
I'll take the dud. I hooked one into. We were Todd and I were scouting out some areas, putting in some work, and I hooked into one casting and really spun the drag back to have fun with it, you know.
Oh yeah.
I was like, yeah, look at this thing, and then I took a picture with it, and then I proceeded to give myself a crying Jordan. I photoshopped it in there. It was silly.
But I got that photo.
Yeah, it was a nice.
It was a nice one. Yeah, it was 40 inch. It was nice.
Yeah.
It hit on that pause. Remember that? I was the guy had the bait down there.
You had to in your hand.
Yeah, I was like fumbling around with the depth finder and the trolling motor, and the thing hit.
They were banging that pause today, baby.
Mm-hmm. They always do.
Yeah. I felt one tap the bait. Like, I mean, I felt one when I was jerking today. I got to fish today with the guy. And I just felt... I mean, you get to know the feel. I knew it wasn't a weed. I didn't say anything, but I was pulling. I was like, that was a fish. Mm-hmm. I gave it a big rip. And stopped, paused. Half a second by, wham! I was like, I got him that time.
Yeah.
It's nice when you actually pick up on those subtle things, and it ends up being what you thought it was.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it, but you don't really know it. But I was like, a fish just hit that thing. I'm going to pause this. Smack! Yeah, going back to the... I mean, you can get both. But those crazies... The crazies are... I mean, one of the best fish I ever caught in my life was up in Canada. Well, not one of the biggest, but one of my favorites. My dad and I were fishing, and we were casting along the inside of this weed edge, and I took a couple jerks. I felt a fish. I was like, oh, there's one. Oh, missed it. Took two jerks. Bam, bam. Pause. And I was pausing. That was a Wiley jerk bait years ago. And I felt another smack. Boom. Gave it his hook set. Nothing. Dang it. Missed him. You know. And I'm saying this. I said, that thing hit it again. Did a couple jerks. Pause. Wham. The fish hit. And that fish, when it... I was standing in the bow of my boat. At this point, it was only about 10 feet off the bow. When that thing grabbed it, that thing jumped in the air. Now, it ended up being a 50 3/4 inch fish, but I'm telling you, that fish's tail was 3 feet out of the water. And my rod was, like, pointing right at the fish, and it's, like, eye level with me. And it hits, and it splashes. My dad doesn't fish all that much, but when it landed on the water and I had it still hooked up, my dad called it. He's like, that's a 50-incher, mm-hmm. you know. One mm-hmm. of the best I ever had. Oh, my gosh, if you'd be wearing a GoPro or something. You take a fish that's 50 inches and his tail's 3 or 4 feet out of the water.
Yeah, it's a big splash.
Two pauses, and two, he whacked the bait twice. I mean, that stuff doesn't happen that often. That's why I remember it so much. Well, first of all, it doesn't happen that often with fish that big. Second of all, it doesn't happen that often with any fish where you feel them and you know. I was like, yeah, what a... So I don't know, man. You guys like the dud with clients. It's they're fine. But then we also get that, Vance. You get the... casting fish, 30 incher grabs it to boat, and they're like, well, it didn't fight that much.
Yeah, you get that all the time.
Yeah, you're trolling and you catch a 35 incher or 38, and they're like, well, I thought we'd have it on for a long time. I'm like, well, I'm not really set up for a 30 incher. The thing weighed 4.5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
We have 80 pound tiger braid line, and you know, we're set up, we could go tuna fishing with our equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're set up to catch the 40-pounder. It just happened to be that your fish, you know, hook into that fish with a bass.
We're using heavier gear than what people tarp and fish with.
We are, yeah. You know. No, we don't lose lures and we don't lose the fish. We're going to land them, but yeah. But I, you know, we do hear that a lot. Boy, it didn't really fight that much.
Yeah. Oh, I hear that all the time.
Yeah. And it's like, well, it was a very, it was a baby. That's not what we're really trying to catch. We're trying to catch them to weigh 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Not 4 pounds. Or 8, you know. We can get them to fight more. I'll just loosen the drag and you can just sit there and fight them. But yeah.
Yeah.
Duds are good because they hit the net.
The dud. I'm sticking with the dud.
Well, I'm going to call that a show.
Would you rather? I like that segment.
If you had to choose. Perfect. All right. Thanks for listening. Please support Fat Easy Muskie Products. We're going to be at the Chicago show, the Ohio show, Muskie Max show. Please check out fateasymuskie.com on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. mcfishandguides.com, that's Todd and Vance. Boss Shad, Paul Frasterio on Facebook. Boss Shad's page on Facebook. Email him bossshad1@gmail.com for your orders. St. Croix Rods, best on earth. And if you guys are fishing still, stay warm, stay dry, and good luck fishing. Thanks for listening.